Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is the 21st day of December in the year of our Lord, 2020. You are listening to The Daily Sword, a daily guide to prayer and Bible reading produced by Sovereign King Church in Southern Indiana and on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. I pray this podcast is a blessing to you. Let us begin. Our call to faith and repentance today comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 34 through 38. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Dear brothers, as we look at the final week of Advent, leading up to Christmas, we are looking here at this passage of the angel's announcement to Mary that she would be with child. Now, it's very interesting here that she asked this question, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" If you remember when Zechariah was told that they would have a child, he asked a question as well. And yet he was rebuked and silenced. Mary is not. What is going on here? Well, obviously the Lord has given grace to Mary. He has bestowed his mercy upon her in this. But furthermore, her question here is not one of doubt. And that's the difference between her and Zechariah. This is more of a question of discretion. Right? "I'm a virgin. Are you expecting something else to happen, Lord? What do I do? How can this be?" We ought to first learn from the example of Mary here about our discretion. There's another example in the Bible of a follower of the Lord Jesus, also with the same kind of discretion. You remember when the Apostle Peter had a vision of a cloth coming down out of heaven with all kinds of foods that were off limits to him as a Jew, and he was told to eat. He said, I can't do this. I can't do this." This is, again, discretion. He couldn't do it because he was trying to be obedient to God. And the Lord had to show the Apostle Peter what he meant by this. And so this is what happens to Mary. She's got discretion. She has obedience to the Lord. "Lord, I'm a virgin, and I tend to stay that way until I'm married." You know, young people, if you would listen to this, we need to be able to exercise discretion. See how important her virginity was to her. How important her modesty was to her. This was great news, but what was to be expected of her? And then the angel answered her and calms her fears and acknowledges her modesty by saying that the Holy Spirit will be the one that comes upon you, and it will be the power of the Most High that will overshadow you. That is, just as the Holy Spirit had overseen the creation by hovering over the waters, you remember in the book of Genesis, here we have the Holy Spirit now overseeing Mary over her womb, and she then conceives. The Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And then the angel gives evidence to her to go and look at your relative, Elizabeth. The Lord can do anything, right? She's been barren and now she's conceived. So the Lord can do anything. Then finally, Mary says, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. There's much that we can learn and apply to ourselves today from this scripture. And maybe the most important part is simply the humility of Mary, the mother of our Lord. You know, we Protestant Reformed are often quick to dismiss things about Mary and that is because there has been a lot of unbiblical and ungodly teaching about her. And yet we ought not lose this example that has been set before us from one of God's faithful children. Mary submitted to the will of God, and she kept her humility and her modesty and discretion. So now, brothers, where have we failed in these ways? Where have we not kept our discretion? Where have we been quick to, if we were to receive certain news, we'd be quick to even disregard the law of God? The Bible says that even if an angel from heaven came with a different gospel, where would we might be quick to follow those angels, instead have discretion and make sure that the messages that we do receive, that is, they come, that they're biblical. They come from Scripture. Where is it that we're quick to follow ideas and things that are not from the Lord? Where is it that we are unsubmissive to His will, unwilling to follow Him? May we have a simple faith, the simple faith of Mary, and the simple, humble submission of Mary. And so as we come before the throne of our Lord today to receive instruction and lift up our petitions, let us first bow our knees and plead for the mercy of God. Almighty God, we are unworthy to come into your presence because of our many sins. We do not deserve any grace or mercy from you if you dealt with us as we deserve. We have sinned against you, O Lord, and we've offended you. And yet, O Lord, as we acknowledge our sins and offenses, so also do we acknowledge you to be a merciful God, a loving and favorable Father to all who turn to you. And so we humbly ask you, for the sake of Christ your Son, to show mercy to us and forgive us all our offenses. Forgive the sins of our youth and the sins of our old age. By your Spirit, O God, take possession of our hearts, so that not only the actions of our life, but also the words of our mouths and the smallest thought of our minds may be guided and governed by you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Brothers, examine your consciences to know whether you truly repent of your sins, and whether by trusting in God's mercy and seeking your salvation in Jesus Christ alone, you're resolved to pursue holiness and to live in peace and love with all men. If you have this testimony in your hearts before God, then be assured that your sins are forgiven through the perfect merit of Jesus Christ, our Lord. O Lord, open thou our lips, and our mouth will show forth thy praise. Open our hearts and our minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the Scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you would say to us today. Listen now to this psalm reading then, brothers, from Psalm chapter 147. This is the word of the Lord. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is becoming. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He gives names to all of them. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. The Lord supports the afflicted. He brings down the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our God on the lyre, who covers the heavens with clouds, who provides rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food, and to the young ravens which cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He does not take pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord favors those who fear him, those who wait for his loving kindness. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your sons within you. He makes peace in your borders. He satisfies you with the finest of the wheat. He sends forth his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts forth his ice as fragments. Who can stand before his cold? He sends forth his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters to flow. He declares his words to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation. And as for his ordinances, they've not known them. praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. Oh, come, let us adore him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen and hallelujah. Brothers, be mindful that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Therefore, listen now to this reading from 2 Kings chapter 15 and 16. This is the word of the Lord. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, became king. He was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. Only the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. The Lord struck the king, so that he was a leper to the day of his death, and he lived in a separate house, while Jotham, the king's son, was over the household, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Azariah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Jotham his son became king in his place. In the 38th year of Azariah king of Judah, Zechariah the son of Jeroboam became king over Israel in Samaria for 6 months. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his fathers had done. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. Then Shallum, the son of Jabesh, conspired against him and struck him before the people and killed him and reigned in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Zechariah, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. This is the word of the Lord which he spoke to Jehu, saying, your sons to the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. And so it was. Shallum, son of Jabesh, became king in the 39th year of Uzziah, king of Judah, and he reigned 1 month in Samaria. The Menahem, son of Gadi, went up from Tirzah and came to Samaria and struck Shallum, son of Jabesh, in Samaria and killed him and became king in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Shallum and his conspiracy which he made, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. Then Menahem struck Tipshas and all who were in it and its borders from Tirzah, because they did not open to him. Therefore he struck it and ripped up all its women who were with child. In the 39th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Menahem, son of Gadi, became king over Israel and reigned 10 years in Samaria. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart all his days from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. Pul, king of Assyria, came against the land, and Menahem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver, so that his hand might be with him to strengthen the kingdom under his rule. Then Menahem exacted the money from Israel, even from all the mighty men of wealth, from each man 50 shekels of silver, to pay the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria returned and did not remain there in the land. Now the rest of the acts of Menahem and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Menahem slept with his fathers. And Pekahiah his son became king in his place. In the 50th year of Azariah king of Judah, Pekahiah son of Menahem became king over Israel in Samaria and reigned 2 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. Then Pekah, son of Remaliah, his officer, conspired against him and struck him in Samaria, in the castle of the king's house with Argob and Ariah. And with him were 50 men of the Galadites, and he killed him and became king in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Pekahiah and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. In the 52nd year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah, son of Remaliah, became king over Israel and Samaria and reigned 20 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. In the days of Pekah, king of Israel, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came and captured Ijon, and Abel, Bethmaachah, and Janoah, and Kadesh, and Hazor, and Gilead, and Galilee, all the land of Naphtali, and he carried them captive to Assyria. And Hosea, the son of Elah, made a conspiracy against Pekah, the son of Remaliah, and struck him and put him to death, and became king in his place, in the 20th year of Jotham, the son of Uzziah. Now the rest of the acts of Pekah and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. In the second year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, became king. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. Only the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. He built the upper gate of the house of the Lord. Now, the rest of the acts of Jotham and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? In those days, the Lord began to send Razan, king of Aram, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, against Judah. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and he was buried with his fathers in the city of David his father. And Ahaz his son became king in his place. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz the son of Jotham, king of Judah, became king. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord his God, as his father David had done. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and even made his sons pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had driven out from before the sons of Israel. He sacrificed and burned incense on the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Then Rezin, king of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war, and they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. At that time, Rezin, king of Aram, recovered Eloth from Aram, and cleared the Judeans out of Eloth entirely. And the Arameans came to Eloth and have lived there to this day. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am your servant and your son. Come up and deliver me from the hand of the king of Aram and from the hand of the king of Israel, who are rising up against me. Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord and the treasuries of the king's house and sent a present to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria listened to him, and the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and captured it, and carried the people of it away into exile to Kir, and put Rezin to death. Now King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and saw the altar which was at Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Urijah the priest the pattern of the altar and its model, according to all its workmanship. So Urijah the priest built an altar, according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. Thus Urijah the priest made it before the coming of King Ahaz from Damascus. When the king came from Damascus, the king saw the altar. Then the king approached the altar and went up to it, and burnt his burnt offering and his meal offering, and poured his drink offering, and sprinkled the blood of his peace offerings on the altar. The bronze altar, which was before the Lord, he brought from the front of the house, from between his altar and the house of the Lord, and he put it on the north side of his altar. Then King Ahaz commanded Urijah the priest, saying, upon the great altar burn the morning burnt offering and the evening meal offering and the king's burnt offering and his meal offering, and with the burnt offering of all the people of the land and their meal offering and their drink offerings, and sprinkle on it all the blood of the burnt offering and all the blood of the sacrifice. But the bronze altar shall be for me to inquire by. So Urijah the priest did according to all that King Ahaz commanded. Then King Ahaz cut off the borders of the stands and removed the laver from them. He also took down the sea from the bronze oxen which were under it and put it on a pavement of stone. The covered way for the Sabbath which they had built in the house and the outer entry of the king he removed from the house of the Lord because of the king of Assyria. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaz which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Ahaz slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his son Hezekiah reigned in his place. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. O God, make speed to save us. Protect us from idolatry. Now, brothers, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days he's spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Therefore, listen to this New Testament reading from the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 13 through 41. This is the word of the Lord. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. But also some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place and attempted to name over those who had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Seven sons of one Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, I recognize Jesus, and I know about Paul, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them and subdued all of them and overpowered them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This became known to all, both Jews and Greeks, who lived in Ephesus. And fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was being magnified. Many also of those who had believed kept coming, confessing and disclosing their practices. And many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of everyone. And they counted up the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing. Now, after these things were finished, Paul purposed in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, after he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, saying, After I have been there, I must also see Rome. And having sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. About that time there occurred no small disturbance concerning the way, for a man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Artemis, was bringing no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen of similar trades, and said, Men, you know that our prosperity depends upon this business, you see, and hear that not only in Ephesus, but almost in all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a considerable number of people, saying that gods made with hands are no gods at all. Not only is there danger that this trade of ours falls into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis be regarded as worthless, and that she whom all of Asia and the world worship will even be dethroned from her magnificence. When they heard this and were filled with rage, they began crying out, saying, Great is Artemis of the Ephesians! The city was filled with the confusion, and they rushed with one accord into the theater, dragging along Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia. And when Paul wanted to go into the assembly, the disciples would not let him. Also, some of the Asiarchs, who were friends of his, sent to him and repeatedly urged him not to venture into the theater. So then, some were shouting one thing and some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and the majority did not know for what reason they had come together. Some of the crowd concluded it was Alexander, since the Jews had put him forward. Having motioned with his hand, Alexander was intending to make a defense to the assembly. But when they recognized that he was a Jew, a single outcry arose from them all as they shouted, For about 2 hours, great is Artemis of the Ephesians! After quieting the crowd, the town clerk said, Men of Ephesus, what man is there, after all, who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of the image which fell down from heaven? So, since these are undeniable facts, you ought to keep calm and do nothing rash. You have brought these men here who are neither robbers of temples nor blasphemers of our goddess. So then, if Demetrius and the craftsmen who are with him have a complaint against any man, the courts are in session and the proconsuls are available. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you want anything beyond this, it shall be settled in the lawful assembly. For indeed, we are in danger of being accused of a riot in connection with today's events, since there is no real cause for it. and in this connection, we will be unable to account for this disorderly gathering. After saying this, he dismissed the assembly. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. We give praise to God for rowdy Christians that tear down idols, that destroy idol making, and overturn normalcy for what actually should be truly normal, the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we give thanks to the Lord as we profess that we believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, brothers, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Therefore, listen to this reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verses 1 through 10. This is the word of the Lord. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is devious in his ways despises him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will protect them. Where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much revenue comes by the strength of the ox. A trustworthy witness will not lie, but a false witness utter lies. A scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge is easy to one who has understanding. Leave the presence of a fool, or you will not discern words of knowledge. The wisdom of the sensible is to understand his way, but the foolishness of fools is deceit. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is goodwill. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we have meditated today on your word, we are reminded of how idolatry is tempting. Our hearts are idol-making factories. And while we may not make statues with our hands to bow down and worship, we do make many idols. Lord, forgive us. Protect us. Protect your church from idolatry. Lord, rather make us humble as we have reflected on Mary and her humility and discretion. Help us to be humble. Help the women who listen to this podcast to be wise women that build their house. Do not let them be the foolish that tear it down with their hands. Let the men who listen to this be men that have lips that are wise. Let them not have devious speech or to be devious. Not let them to be the one who's speak before they listen and have discerned, but to think first, meditate on your word, and then respond. Now, Lord, we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, as we look forward to being able to celebrate your first coming, your birth of Christ on this week, we also pray that you would fill us with anticipation for your second coming, a longing for your second coming. And we pray this now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now, brothers, the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You've been listening to The Daily Sword by Sovereign King Church. We pray this has been a blessing to you. Please visit www.sovereignkingchurch.com for more.